Appaloosa Radio presents its original musical production of The Echoes of Barbara Mandrell, the musical, Act 3. Dr. Larner and his research team were thrilled with Charles's progress. They had given him only 2 doses of Nostalgin 16. Other patients had required more, and Charles's condition had been the worst they had ever seen. Nostalgin 16 could revolutionize the field of psychiatric neuroscience and memory loss disease. Dr. Larner and his research team had demonstrated that Nostalgin 16 promotes the growth of new dendritic spines and restores patient memories. The senior apartment that Charles Day now occupied in the massive Oak Knoll complex was small by Texas standards. But Roxanne felt it was adequate, since it also included full meal service and access to a recreational hall. One of the several positive changes that the Nostalgin 16 treatment had brought was that Charles could now briefly stand by himself. Standing meant that Charles could now both take himself to the bathroom and dress himself, although his taste in clothing was not always what Roxanne preferred. Whenever she visited him, Roxanne would adjust his wardrobe to her own taste. "He would wear the same flannel pajamas all the time if I would let him," she told her sisters. Clothing choices aside, Roxanne was pleased with the progress she was seeing. Her father was eating and had actually gained a few pounds. A very good thing, she thought. He had been just skin and bones.
Good morning, Mr. Day. This is Monica, your occupational therapist. Just checking in on you. Are you coming down to the dining room for breakfast, or should I have the kitchen staff bring it up to you?
Monica's voice came through the intercom located next to the apartment's door. At first, the intercom confused Charles. He did not realize that you had to flip the blue switch up to talk on it. He tried to just talk back to it. When no one responded, he tried again. Then again, in a loud, angry voice. Realizing his confusion, Monica came to his apartment and showed him how the system worked. At least, she thought she had shown him. Unfortunately, the next day, Charles demonstrated the same frustrations, and Monica came to his apartment and showed him again.
"Something so simple. I don't know why he does not grasp it."
Monica did not know that Charles understood how to use the intercom. He had simply chosen not to. Every time he flipped the blue switch up, someone spoke to him. Someone he detested. Someone from his past. Someone whose voice replaced his own.
And I start to realize you may not be real, or so they say, but your ghost keeps on haunting, won't go away. In my dreams, you appear so vividly, a phantom love, a haunting melody. I try to forget you, but I can't escape these ghostly whispers. In every breath I take, whispers in the night, haunting my mind. I don't believe in ghosts, but you're hard to deny. You're just a figment, a trick of fate. But why are you haunting me with every move I make? And I start to realize you may not be real, or so they say, but your ghost keeps on haunting, won't go away. In my dreams, you appear so vividly, a phantom love, a haunting melody. I try to forget you, but I can't escape these ghostly whispers. In every breath I take, whispers in the night, haunting my mind. I don't believe in ghosts, but you're hard to deny. You're just a figment, a trick of fate. But why are you haunting me with every move I make?
Every time he flipped the blue switch up, someone spoke to him. Someone he detested. Someone from his past. Someone whose voice replaced his own.
Don't be such a stupid toothpick. The band is supposed to synchronize with the puppets. When the puppet drummer lowers his stick to his puppet drum, then you must strike your real drum. Not 10 minutes later. Got it? You are the puppet sound effect. I know that you have a watermelon for a brain. So let me explain. See, the puppets can't really make music. It is your job to make music for them. The key word here is synchronize. Say it with me. Sync. Crow. Nice. That means at the same time. Zip up your pants and get with it. It is your fault that we are still rehearsing the same segment at 7:30 at night. It is your fault that none of us have gotten supper. It is also your fault that no one has been able to get to the privy. That everyone is holding it tight, crossing their legs because of you. But we'll stay here until everyone gets it right, and no one sneaks away to the John. I will not put garbage on the air. No, not on my show. We'll get it right. Exactly. Precisely. Got it?
Thank you.
that was his name. The guy who bore the brunt of Gus Griswold's ferocious attacks. There were a lot of them. Lyle was always getting blasted, back when Barbara was doing her television show. Today, with current technology, it would be both easy and inexpensive to sync a music track with the visuals. But back when Sid and Marty Croft produced the Barbara Mandrell Music Hour, it was both time-consuming and very expensive. The Croft brothers were puppeteers who had mastered their craft doing live shows, first in burlesque theater and then in the Barnum and Bailey Circus. Their schist was fall down, drop your drawers, pie in, your face routines, stuff that worked well in vaudeville, but not in television. Sid and Marty Croft were wild men whose creative energies knew no bounds. In a much later interview, Marty Croft admitted that LSD played a role in his creative processes. But even without it, they were bizarre, spontaneous comics who thrived on chaos. Enter Gus Griswold, Lyle, Charlie, and the other four performers who were tasked with creating the music for the puppet band. On the set, they were called the Hidden Band, to distinguish them from Barbara's own, very professional band, the Do-Rights. The Hidden Band performed in another part of the set where the puppet stage was set up. It felt like Outer Mongolia, out by the damnable puppets, never backing any of the guest stars joining Barbara on her show. And it was the Hidden Band that Gus Griswold always screamed at when something went wrong. Loud, vulgar, scathing. All of his frustrations and anger were directed at them. The puppets were supposed to bring humor to the show. Sometimes they did. That wild and chaotic humor that the Croft brothers used so effectively in their children's television shows. However, often they brought only confusion, chaos, and Gus Griswold's unmitigated anger. And Lyle. Poor, dumb, incompetent Lyle, the kid drummer for the Hidden Band, bore the brunt of Gus Griswold's fire. Roasted at 1,000 degrees.
No, I never saw Barbara again. Never. Never. I always remember her on that hospital bed, helpless, tubes everywhere, destroyed, ruined. Never saw her again. Never. Not once. Never. Why didn't we reconnect after she started performing again? Must have been a reason. Why? I don't know why. Oh yeah. Yeah. It is because of Gus Griswold. Yeah. That gross little man with the dark, fuzzy beard, always spouting profanities, always yelling. Never could speak civilly to her, never showed any respect, nasty, polluted, evil. He never wanted her to bring the band back. He hated the Do-Rights, those puppets, those damnable puppets. That was his way of sneering at us. Always sneering at us. Sneering. He wasn't country. And he wasn't cool.
Country and country wasn't cool. I was country and country wasn't cool.
Yeah, I was country. country born and grew. Yeah, I was country from my head down, oh my boo.
I still act and look the same, and what you see ain't nothing new. 'Cause I was country when country wasn't cool. Yeah, I was country when country wasn't cool.
One of Dr. Larner's graduate students first noticed the anomaly. She saw it in 25 of the 29 patients treated with Nostalgin 16. The emotional centers of the brain were being stimulated at a rate 17.5% higher than expectations. The impact was most noticeable on the limbic cortex, which is directly involved in mood, motivation, and judgment. Nostalgin 16 was designed to rebuild neurological pathways damaged by trauma and memory disease. It restores lost memories by stimulating a regrowth of the dendritic spines, which store memories. It'd been expected that with Nostalgin 16 treatment, a patient's affect will be attenuated in a positive direction. They would feel better about themselves and have a more positive outlook on their circumstances. Thus, some impact on the brain's emotion centers had been assumed. However, that was assumed to be a simple, positive side effect as a result of successful memory restoration. Stimulation of the limbic cortex was not anticipated to be a primary effect. When the research team gathered to discuss this finding, Dr. Larner commented that a stimulation of the limbic cortex of this magnitude is like smoking a couple of pounds of hashish. And one of the graduate students added, or alternatively, taking a truckload of downers. All agreed that the Nostalgin 16 patients would experience very intense mood swings, going from the lowest low to the highest high. Positive feelings would be quickly replaced by negative ones. It would also impact decision-making. Finally, the research team noted the obvious. The limbic cortex does not act independently of the other regions of the brain. It is also connected to and coordinated with the amygdala and the hypothalamus. The amygdala is directly involved with fear and anger. It is triggered when there is a perception of danger, when there is a need to flee or fight. The hypothalamus has its own important role. It coordinates hormonal responses to stress. Given these new findings, Dr. Larner regretted his advice to Mrs. Rogers. Keeping her father in the secure memory care facility might have been the best alternative.
Hello, this is Charles Day in room 4711. I would like to order a ham and cheese sandwich on rye bread mayo with Dijon mustard.
I'm sorry, Mr. Day, but it is almost midnight, and all of the kitchens are closed and locked.
Oh, I've been hankering for a ham and cheese on rye all day, really hankering for one. Maybe you could get me the fixings and I can make my own. I can even go down to the kitchen and get them, if you can't bring them up.
Okay, Mr. Day. Joe Fowler, our night janitor, says he'll open the kitchen and get you the sandwich fixings. You can meet him outside the main kitchen on level 2.
I'll see him there. Hi, Mr. Fowler. Thanks for doing this for me.
Sure, no problem. Our goal is to meet our guests' needs.
And you do that mighty well. Mr. Fowler disarmed the alarm system, unlocked the kitchen's stainless steel door, and entered the dimly lit kitchen. Charles followed slowly behind him in his motorized wheelchair. Then Mr. Fowler disappeared into the massive walk-in refrigerator. As soon as he entered the refrigerator, Charles accelerated his motorized wheelchair to maximum speed, opened the exterior door, zipped down the loading ramp, and disappeared into the massive parking lot. My escape was a lot easier than I thought it would be, he mused to himself as he fled into the city's darkness.
Sunsets, nothing gonna stop him. He's on the road. The fire in his soul is gonna rock and roll. He pulled out of town on that dusty road with his guitar on his back, smoking a cigar. Folks couldn't believe what they saw. Wild hair, troubadour, ain't afraid to go far. You roll like a maniac, live a life on the edge, strumming his guitar, playing till the sun sets. Nothing gonna stop him. He's on the road. The fire in his soul is gonna rock and roll. It's nothing gonna stop him. He's on the road. The fire in his soul is gonna rock and roll. It's nothing gonna stop him. He's on the road. The fire in his soul is gonna rock and roll. Put in a town on that dusty road with his guitar on his back, smoking a cigar. Folks couldn't believe what they saw. Wild hair troubadour, ain't afraid to go far. You roll like a maniac, live a life on the edge, strumming his guitar, playing till the sun sets. Nothing gonna stop him. He's on the road.
Closing his eyes, Charlie could see every detail. Barbara and her band, the Do-Rights, were on stage in Ann Arbor, Michigan, performing in an arena designed for college basketball. 18,000 fans, every seat sold. In his mind, he played the first few bars of their opening song, waiting for Barbara to make her appearance. She moves to center stage, wearing a long sequined dress, shimmering blue, then green, then blue again. He can feel his guitar in his hands, feels the steel vibrate over the strings. It was a hot July night, and the stage lights made it feel even warmer. Still, the moment was magic. His baritone voice harmonizing with her lilting melodies. He could see it, in every incredible detail. Then the voice came, the one that came through the intercom, the voice of Gus, Gus Griswold.
Then the voice came. The one that came through the intercom, the voice of Gus. Gus Griswold.
I have great power. You are nothing. You are weak. A studio musician. Easily replaceable. Nothing special. Backup performer to a bunch of puppets. I have decided to keep Barbara Mandrell. Keep her as my own. She can make me lots of money, singing on television. Singing what I tell her. Stage concerts, no money there. Television, television, television. I will never allow the new rights to reconnect with Barbara Mandrell. You will never sing with her again. I have forces at my disposal to stop it. Sinister forces with great power, far greater than you have. I will stop you. I will stop you. I have great power. You are nothing. I have great power. Great power. You are nothing. Great power. You are nothing. Great power. You are nothing.
Now I have the power, controls in my hand. Just a puppet, I'm the one with the plan. I pull the strings, make you dance on command. No escaping my grip, you're stuck in quicksand. Behind my back, you're talking all that trash. But when I'm in your face, you turn into a rash. You thought you had control, thought you were so slick. But now you're in my clutches and I'm calling the shots.
Mrs. Ken Dudney left her home outside Nashville to take her two older children shopping. She decided to drive the Jaguar since it was bigger than her two-seat Mercedes. On their way home, a teenage driver crossed onto the wrong side of the road, traveling at a high rate of speed, and hit Mrs. Dudney head-on. The only thing that saved her life was that an instant before the crash, she made a hard left, so that the oncoming car crashed into the passenger side, away from her. Another factor that helped was that the Jaguar was built like a tank, with a massive engine and a old steel frame. The other car was a smaller, Japanese-built model, with a smaller mass. Nonetheless, her recuperation was both lengthy and painful. She withdrew from public view during it. Only after it was complete did her other persona, Barbara Mandrell, reemerge. In subsequent interviews, she often said that it was an act of divine providence that she lived. In thankfulness, she often performed gospel music during her shows. Those terrible events are now 37 years in the past. She is now living a pleasant life in her retirement. However, the unanticipated side effects from the Nostalgia 16 treatment had blocked Charles's ability to distinguish paranoia from reality. He was determined to complete his mission of saving her from the evil forces that sought to harm her, to save her from the evil clutches of Gus Griswold.
Just a boy with a heart pounding like a
Superman don't need a cape to steal my heart. Oh, what a play. Just be yourself, that's all it takes to make me love you every day. No need for powers or saving lives to make me weak right between the lines. Just be there for me through all the highs, and I'll be yours until the end of time. You don't need to be a superhero, just a boy with a heart. Superman, don't need a cape to steal my heart. Oh, what a play. Just be yourself, that's all it takes to make me love you every day. No need for powers or saving lives to make me weak right between the lines. Just be there for me through all the highs, be yours until the end of time. You don't need to be a superhero, just a boy with a heart pounding like a beat. Hold my head, oh baby, let's go. Together we'll write our love story. You don't need to be a superhero, just a boy with a heart.
The voice on the intercom had said two words that motivated Charles into instantaneous action. The voice had said, "Cactus Music," which Charles immediately knew was the oldest and largest independent record store in Houston, a fixture in the Houston music scene, one that every musician knew. Cactus Music was especially known for its in-the-store performances and spontaneous jam sessions. Many well-known performers would come to the store for some casual jamming with other musicians who happened to be in town. Charles had often shopped there, never buying tapes or CDs, always vinyl. Charlie remembered that Barbara Mandrell was coming to the store to sign autographs and to give an interview with a local radio station. It had been on her calendar for months. What a perfect place for Gus to kidnap her. The thought of Gus kidnapping her sent cold shivers down Charlie's spine. Kidnap her and force her to perform on television. Charles knew that the fastest way to get to the Cactus Music Store was to use the West Park Tollway, the famous Texas 8 superhighway. Texas 8 was a toll road. Many Texans believed that since they had paid their toll, there was no speed limit on the roadway. That belief was so common that a local maxim emerged, Texas 8, where the fools drive like hell demons and the wise ones just pray. Using the Texas 8 tollway meant risking it all to get where you needed to go. However, Charlie was on a mission of maximum urgency, so the Texas 8 tollway was the only option, the only way to get to Cactus Music and to foil Gus.
A News Now alert from Houston's News Now station, where local Texas news comes first.
This is D. Nelia Robinson with a News Now action alert. From alongside the busy West Park Tollway, the infamous Texas 8. I am standing right where the West Park Tollway exits onto Richmond Street, one of the busiest off-ramps on a very busy tollway. This was the scene of a very bizarre and extremely tragic accident that resulted in the death of an 84-year-old man suffering from dementia. I find it unbelievable even as I report this. The elderly man was driving his motorized wheelchair, and he had driven it almost 19 miles on the Texas 8 tollway, where vehicles routinely whiz past doing 80 miles an hour. We've all heard the saying, if you're driving 80 on the 8, then you're driving too slow. Tollway officials have provided the News Now team video of this gentleman driving his motorized chair in the number 2 lane. See, there he is driving under the West Park toll gantry on the Texas 8. Unbelievable. See, the wheelchair is going pretty fast. Pretty fast, that is, for a motorized wheelchair. Maybe 20 miles an hour. But this is the notorious Texas 8 tollway. The word I am getting is that this gentleman had escaped from a care facility in the Cinco Ranch area. Somehow, he seems to have made it from Cinco Ranch onto the Grand Parkway toll road, then onto the West Park, Texas 8 tollway, traveling eastbound toward Houston. 19 miles, cars and truck buzzing by. Then, at the Richmond Street exit, he left the tollway. It was on the off-ramp that a semi-truck carrying a load of gravel hit and killed him. Officials have informed us that the driver of the semi-truck is not being cited. An unfortunate accident. Obviously, this elderly gentleman had some place he wanted to go, and he wanted to get there fast. So, he did what thousands of Texans do every day. He took the Texas 8 tollway, and then he let it rip. This is D. Nelia Robinson, returning you to the News Now studio.
I remember wearing straight leg Levi's, flannel shirts even when they weren't in style. I remember singing with Roy Rogers at the movies when the West was really wild. And I was listening to the Opry when all of my friends were digging rock and roll and rhythm and blues. I was country, and country wasn't cool. I remember circling in the driveway, pulling up and turning down George Jones. I remember when no one was looking, I was putting peanuts in my coke. I took a lot of killing, cause it never did fit in. Come now look at everybody trying to be what I was then. I was country when country wasn't cool. When country wasn't cool, I was country from my head down to my boots. I still act and look the same. What you see ain't nothing new. I was country when country wasn't cool. They call us country pumpkins for sticking to our roots. I'm just glad we're in a country where we're free to choose. I was country when country wasn't cool.
Yeah, I was country when country wasn't cool. Yeah, I was country all my head down. I still act and look the same, and what you see ain't nothing new. Cause I was country when country wasn't cool. Yeah, I was country when country wasn't cool.